الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، begin reading this evening the 8th chapter. The chapter the author has entitled استقامة القلب. استقامة القلب, the uprightness of the heart, or the steadfastness of the heart. الاستقامة, الاستقامة, the translation means to be upright, to be steadfast, to be upright and to be steadfast upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inwardly and outwardly, daily, upright upon the correct creed and the proper application of that creed and performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions, hoping for the reward of Allah and fearing His punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala, and traversing firmly and swiftly upon the straight path of Allah azza wa jal. Istiqamatul qalb, the steadfastness of the heart, the uprightness of the heart and the steadfastness of the heart. What is intended here is the purity of the heart and the soundness of the heart and the correctness of the heart and the goodness of the heart. Whenever the heart is pure and good and sound, it will be upright. It will be upright and it will be firm and it will be steadfast upon as-sirat al-mustaqim. The author, he says, حَفِيظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى رَوَى الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ عَنْ أَنِسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه ولا يدخل رجل الجنة لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. The author, he began this chapter by mentioning a narration collected by Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى, and it is the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم قلبه. A servant's faith will not be upright until his heart is upright. A servant's faith, and a person's faith, will not be upright until their heart is upright. ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه, and his heart will not be upright until his tongue is upright, and his heart will not be upright until his tongue is upright. ولا يدخل رجل الجنة لا يأمن جاره بوائقه, and a man will not enter paradise if his neighbor is not safe from his harm. If his neighbor is not safe from his harm. So the author, he says, في هذا الحديث أن صلاح القلب بالإيمان مستلزم للصلاح الجسد فأساس الاستقامة ومدارها على القلب والقلب هو أساس الصلاح ومعدنه ومنبعه. This narration indicates that the rectitude of the heart through faith necessitates the rectitude of the body. The foundation of uprightness and its source is in the heart, as the heart is the root and origin of rectification and reform. We must ponder over the narration. لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه. These affairs, they're related. A person, his faith will not be upright. His iman will not be proper and good, sound and upright, firm and beneficial, حتى يستقيم قلبه, until his heart is upright. ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه, and his heart will never be upright until his tongue is upright. So these affairs, they're directly related. Iman, the affairs of the heart, the tongue, and that which a person says and what he speaks about and talks about. ولا يدخل رجل الجنة لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. And a man, he will not enter paradise if his neighbor is not safe from his ills, not safe from his harms. So therefore, iman, whenever it's firmly rooted in the heart, whenever it's deeply grounded and firmly rooted in the heart, then it will produce beautiful actions and behavior and conduct. At the head of that, the statements one makes. And likewise, observing the rights of others. of others. This is from the fruit of sincere and true faith, whenever it's truly residing and taking root and hold in a person's heart. In a person's heart. So he says, Hafidhullah, قال ابن رجب رحمه الله, والمراد باستقامة الإيمان استقامة أعمال الجوارح. Ibn Rajab, may Allah have mercy on him, he says, what is meant by the uprightness of faith, يعني استقامة الإيمان, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد, a person's إيمان would not be upright. What is intended by إيمان here, he says, رحمه الله تعالى, is one's actions of the limbs. Is one's actions of the limbs. And the iman here being referred to is the actions on the limbs. And we know that at iman with the people of the sunnah includes a statement on the tongue, a creed in the heart, and actions on the limbs and body parts. And actions on the limbs and body parts. Qawlun bil lisan, wa qawlun wa amalun bil qalb, wa amalun bil jawarih. Wa amalun bil jawarih. It's a statement on the tongue, and a statement and actions of the heart, and the statement of the heart and actions of the heart, and actions on the body parts. This is the reality of Al-Iman. This is the reality of Al-Iman. He's saying here, Iman, what is intended, what is meant by the uprightness of faith, istiqamatul Iman, is the uprightness of one's actions of limbs, and the one's actions of the limbs. فَإِنَّ أَعْمَالَ الْجَوَارِحْ لَا تَسْتَقِيمُ إِلَّا بِاسْتِقَامَةِ الْقَلْبِ. ومعنى استقامة القلب أن يكون ممتلئا من محبة الله ومحبة طاعته وكراهة معصيته. And the actions of the limbs cannot be upright unless the heart is upright. And the actions of the limbs cannot be upright unless the heart is upright. And the meaning of the uprightness of the heart is that it is filled with the love of Allah and love for His obedience and hatred and detest for his disobedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is intended here. The istiqamatul iman, and it is in the application of faith. It's in the application of faith. Because if the iman is sincerely, truly found in the heart, and it has taken root, then the fruits of that tree will be seen, and it will be known, it will be heard, and the behavior and conduct will be displayed. Will be displayed. So a person, he will never be upright until the iman resides in his heart properly, and it's seen. It's seen in his conduct. It's seen in his manners. It's seen in the way he walks, and the way he talks, and the way he moves, and the way he communicates, the way he deals with the people, the way he lives his life. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord guides them by way of their iman. He mentions another great benefit here, rahimahullah, وَمَعْنَى إِسْتِقَامَةِ الْقَلْبِ. And the meaning of the uprightness of the heart, and the meaning of the uprightness of the heart, أَنْ يَكُونَ مُمْتَلِئًا مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ, that it will be full of the love of Allah. That it will be full of the love of Allah. We discussed these affairs before. These affairs, they're all مُتَرَابِطَ, مُتَدَاخِرَ, they're all connected and tied together. These issues here of the heart, they're all connected and tied together. So when the heart is steadfast and upright, this occurs whenever it's full of the love of Allah. And when something is full of something, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for anything else. So the heart is full of the love of Allah. So there's no love for the dunya. And any love for the dunya, it's for the love of Allah. In accordance to the love of Allah. And that love is checked with the reins of the legislation of Allah. So therefore he loves Allah and loves for the sake of Allah. And امتلأ قلبه محبة لله عز وجل. His heart is full of the love of Allah. When something is full, there's no room for anything else. When something is full, there's no room for anything else. So based upon that, he says, wa mahabbati ta'atihi, it's full of the love of Allah and the love of the obedience of Allah. Because it's in the obedience of Allah that one, he would obtain the love of the beloved. The love of the beloved. The one whom he loves is Allah. And the means to draw near to him is to obey him. Is to obey him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this requires and necessitates to detest and turn away from everything that would turn one away from the beloved and the love of the beloved. وَكَرَاهِيَةِ مَعْسِيَتِهِ, and to despise and dislike or detest his disobedience. His disobedience. This is what it means to have a heart that is upright. إِسْتِخَامَةُ الْقَلْبِ. إِسْتِخَامَةُ الْقَلْبِ. And this is the great favor of Allah Azza wa Jal in grace. And this is the great favor, grace and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. But rather it's Allah who caused the faith to be dear to you, and he adorned it in your hearts, made it beloved to you. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ. And he has made detestable to you, made detestable to you disbelief and corruption and sin and disobedience. And disobedience, this is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. قال الله عز وجل إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون. He says, the mentioning the statement of Allah the Most High, in the meaning of which is, indeed those who have said, our Lord is Allah, and then remain steadfast, upon them the angels would descend, saying, do not fear and do not grieve, but receive good tidings of paradise, which you were promised. We have been your friends, your aiders and helpers, your allies in the life of this world, and are so in the hereafter. And therein you shall have all that your inner selves desire, and therein you shall have all for what you ask. And you have everything that you desire, and everything that you ask for, as a great recompense and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in this noble verse is a clarification of the reward of steadfastness. The reward of steadfastness is that the angels, they will descend and give the person glad tidings, and that they will enter paradise, and the fear will be removed, and they will have no grief whatsoever. This is the fruits and the great reward for the people of al-istiqamah. The author, he says, قال تعالى إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. The Most High, he says, the meaning of which is, verily those who say our Lord is Allah and He only, لا إله إلا الله, the one whom I worship and devote myself to is Allah in entirety. My Lord is Allah. And thereafter stand firm and straight on the Islamic faith and monotheism. And either ثم استقاموا يعني على طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى ظاهرا وباطنا. Then they're steadfast, upright upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, inwardly and outwardly, سرا وعلنا, in private and in public, in private and in public, on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Verily, those who say our Lord is Allah, thereafter stand firm and straight and upright on the Islamic religion, upon Tawheed, on them they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. وَلَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. It is these people here, they're the companions of the Jannah. They're the people of paradise, those whom Allah had prepared paradise for, abiding there forever. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, as a recompense for what they used to do, from what they used to do of sincere faith and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, fulfilling the rights of servitude and worship, and fulfilling the rights of a tawheed, and establishing the shahadatain in their life, inwardly and outwardly. Again, this is a clarification of the great fruits and recompense for those people of al-istiqamah, for those people of al-istiqamah. So the author, he says, في هذا عظم شأن الاستقامة وعظم ثوابه. And this highlights the greatness of steadfastness and the magnitude of its reward. This here, these noble verses here, they highlight the greatness of steadfastness and the magnitude of its reward. ولكن ذلك لا يكون ولا يتحقق إلا إذا استقام قلبه على طاعة الله عز وجل. However, this cannot be achieved unless the heart is steadfast in obedience to Allah the Almighty. This cannot occur by false hopes and whims. It will not occur like that. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. It's not by your false hopes and the false hopes of the people of the book. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. Whoever works evil, he will be recompensed for that. Whoever works evil, he will be recompensed for that. Whoever works evil, he will be recompense for that. The Shaykh, he says, لَكِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَكُونُ وَلَا يَتَحَقَّقُ إِلَّا إِذَا اسْتَقَامَ إِلَّا إِذَا اسْتَقَامَ قَلْبُهُ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزِّ وَجِلٍ. But however, this cannot be achieved unless the heart is steadfast in obedience to Allah the Almighty. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ عَبْدٍ إِلَّا إِذَا اسْتَقَامَ قَلْبُهُ. For a servant's faith cannot be upright unless his heart is upright, and as his heart is upright. فَالْقَلْبُ أَسَاسُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ وَلِهَذَا فَإِنَّ أَمْرَ إِسْتِقَامَةِ الْقَلْبِ أَمْرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ رُبَّمَا يُعْنَى بِإِسْتِقَامَةِ الظَّاهِرِ وَيَغْفَلُ عَنْ إِقَامَةِ بَاطِنِهِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ وَحُسْنِ الْإِقْبَالِ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالْبُعْدِ بِالْقَلْبِ عَنْ أَدْوَاءِ الْقُلُوبِ وَأَمْرَاضِهَا التي تبعد عن الاستقامة. The heart is the foundation of steadfastness and rectification. Therefore, the matter of the heart's steadfastness is a very significant issue. And many people may concern themselves with outward steadfastness while neglecting to align their inner self with obedience. And in many people, they have great care and concern with the appearance outwardly of al-istiqama, while their hearts are deviant and attached to the worldly life, and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning sincerely to Allah Almighty, and either heed us of these affairs. Many people may concern themselves with outward steadfastness while neglecting to align their inner selves with obedience, turning sincerely to Allah the Almighty, and distancing their hearts from the ailments and diseases that hinder steadfastness. From the ailments and diseases that hinder steadfastness. So a person, he must strive to be steadfast inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. No doubt there are laws and regulations with regards to a person's outward appearance. And likewise, the righteous and the pious, from the people, they have a particular manner that they have a particular manner in the clothes that they wear, and the manner that they move, and the likes like this. But that's not simply it. That's not simply it. Rather, the outward appearance will not benefit if it's not proceeding from sincere and true faith. If it's not proceeding from sincere and true faith, maybe a person he will have the whitest thobe above his ankles with a big beard and the likes like this, but he's a liar or a cheater, or he deceives the people, or he takes interest and the likes like this. This will not benefit him. This will not benefit him. So it's not sufficient, the outward appearance. No doubt a person, he will check his inward and outward with the reins of the legislation. With the reins of the legislation. But it's not sufficient to concern oneself with one's outward appearance only and neglect the inward aspect, and neglect the affairs of the heart and the likes. This is the point here. A person, he has to take great care and concern for his heart, like he's mentioning here, to establish it in the obedience of Allah and the love for Allah, and likewise distancing one's heart from all of the distractions or anything that could weaken it or cause it to become sick, or cause it to become sick and hinder it from the path of steadfastness. So the Shaykh, he says, وَالْقُلُوبُ تَتَسَلَّلُ إِلَيْهَا أَدْوَاءٌ وَأَسْقَامٌ وَأَمْرَاضٌ تُضْعِيفُ مَا فِيهَا مِنْ إِيمَانٍ وَتُنْقِصُ مَا فِيهَا مِنْ دِينٍ وَطَاعَةٍ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. So the hearts are infiltrated by ailments. The hearts are infiltrated by ailments. These words here are very beautiful. تَسَلَّلُ, يعني it means to infiltrate. But likewise, it means to seep in. It means to seep in little by little. So these diseases, what do? They infiltrate the heart. They seep in little by little until if a person is heedless or forgetful, it will overcome his heart from where he did not perceive or recognize. It will overcome his heart and take control from where he did not perceive nor even recognize. وَالْقُلُوبُ تَتَسَلَّلُ إِلَيْهَا أَدْوَاءٌ وَأَسْقَامٌ وَأَمْرَاضٌ تُضْعِيفُ مَا فِيهَا مِنْ إِيمَانٍ وَتُنْقِصُ مَا فِيهَا مِنْ دِينٍ وَطَاعَةٍ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. Hearts are infiltrated by ailments, illnesses, and diseases that weaken the faith within them and diminish their devotion and obedience to Allah the Almighty, and diminish their devotion and obedience to Allah the Almighty. وَلِهَذَا فَإِنَّ مِنَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنْ يَحْرِصَ الْمَرْءُ عَلَى مُدَاوَاتِ قَلْبِهِ وَالْبُعْدِ به عن الأدواء التي تصيب القلوب فتسقمها وتمرضها. Therefore, steadfastness in obeying Allah requires that a person diligently treat their heart and protect it from the ailments that afflict it, causing it to weaken and to deteriorate. And he first speaking about the faith, what happens to it? It would diminish. And then likewise, the heart can weaken and deteriorate. These are affairs that happen little by little. These diseases, they seep into the heart. They seep into the heart. And that's from the footsteps of the devil. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خطوات الشيطان. Do not follow the footsteps of the devil. He will lead you little by little. Little by little, making the sin seem fair seeming until he has you trapped and lost in desires and whims, or confusion and deviation and misguidance. Having at one time certainty, now having doubts about those same things that one he has certainty about with regards to the fundamentals of the religion and creed and in methodology. And likewise, overcome by desires and lusts, when at one time a person he had a check on his soul, and lowering his gaze and checking his tongue and the likes like this. But little by little he fell heedless, and time passed until these affairs seeped into his heart and overcome him until now it's seen clearly and apparently in his actions. So the Shaykh, he says, وَكَمَا أَنَّ الْأَبْدَانَ تَمْرَضُ فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ تَمْرَضُ مَرَضًا أَشَدَّ مِنْ مَرَضِ الْبَدَنِ. So just as the bodies fall ill, hearts also fall ill, and their sickness can be far more severe than the physical ailments. وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ أَمْرَاضٍ عَدِيدَةٍ تُصِيبُ الْقُلُوبَ وَتَتَسَلَّلُ إليها وأخبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أنها أصابت كذلك الأمم السابقة قبلنا. So the author, he's mentioning here, just as bodies fall ill, hearts also fall ill, and their sickness can be far more severe than physical ailments. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of many diseases that afflict the hearts and infiltrate them. They slip and they seep into the hearts and overcome them. And he also sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that these afflictions had plagued the nations before us. He says, حفظه الله وقد جمع صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث واحد جملة من الأمراض والأدواء التي تصيب القلوب محذرا صلوات الله وسلامه وبركاته عليه منها. And in a single hadith, in one narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has outlined and mentioned a series of ailments and diseases that afflict hearts, warning against them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. روى الحاكم في المستدرك بإسناد ثابت من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سيصيب أمتي داء الأمم. فقالوا يا رسول الله وما داء الأمم؟ قال الأشر والبطر والتكاثر والتناجش في الدنيا والتباغض والتحاسد حتى يكون البغي. So the author, he mentioned now, it's narrated by al-Hakim in his Mustadrak with an authentic chain that is established and firm from the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, a disease of the nations will soon afflict my ummah. They asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the disease of the nations? What is the disease of the nations? Da'ul umam, the disease of the nations. He replied, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, pay attention. He replied, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, arrogance. When you hear this, disease of the umam, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking? AIDS, smallpox, corona, what are you thinking about, right? M2, whatever they call that, they have numbers for some of them, right? This is what you're thinking about. This is not what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to. Da'ul umam, the disease of the nations, and that destroyed them. What do you have to be left? Arrogance, vanity, rivalry for worldly gains, vying against one another in wealth, mutual hatred and envy until oppression spreads. فَعَدَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ سِتَّةَ أَمْرَاضٍ وَأَدْوَاءٍ تُسِيبُ النَّاسَ ثُمَّ إِذَا انْتَشَرَتْ بِهِمْ هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضُ وَالْأَسْقَامُ وَقَعَ الْبَغْيُ وَهُوَ الْغُلُوُّ وَتَجَاوُزُ الْحُدُودِ وَانْتِهَاكُ لِلْأَنْفُسِ وَالْأَعْرَاضِ وَالْأَمْوَالِ دُونَ مُبَالَاةٍ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ بِإِقَابٍ وَلَا حِسَابٍ وَلَا وُقُوفٍ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So thus the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam listed 6 diseases and afflictions that affect the people. When these diseases and ailments spread among them, oppression occurs, manifesting as arrogance, exceeding limits, and violating lives, and honor, and wealth, and taking people's lives. This is done without concern for punishment, accountability, or standing before Allah the Almighty. Any meaning that this disease will take over the heart to an extent that one, he will commit these these hideous crimes against mankind, against the people, sometimes against his own family members and neighbors and the likes like this, and he will not have any care or concern for any accountability or standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because his love for the dollar and the glitter of this worldly life has overcome him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the Shaykh, he says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ يُعَدُّ عَلَمًا مِنْ عَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ. And this narration is considered one of the signs of prophethood. And this narration is here, is considered a sign from the signs of prophethood. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر عن أمور أصابت الأمة من قبل أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأخبر بأنها ستصيب الأمة فوقع الأمر طبقا لما أخبره ووفقا لما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. This narration is considered a sign from the signs of prophethood, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم foretold matters that afflicted nations before the nation of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and informed that they would also afflict his ummah as well صلى الله عليه وسلم. Indeed, these events occurred exactly as he has foretold صلى الله عليه وسلم, and in accordance to that which he has mentioned. ثم إن هذا الخبر خرج مخرج التحذير والإنذار. And then here this statement was conveyed as a warning and a caution. And this is not simple information. فَلَمْ يَقُولْ ذَلِكَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمْ مُجَرَّدِ الْعِلْمِ بِهِ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he did not mention this here merely for informational purposes. He didn't just mention these affairs, this disease here, this disease here of arrogance and vanity and rivalry for worldly gains and vying against one another and wealth and mutual hatred and envy until oppression is spread amongst the people. This is not just information informing you of things that's going to happen just so that you know about that. بل قال ذلك محذرا ومنذرا صلى الله عليه وسلم The statement was conveyed as a warning and a cautionary message. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not mention it merely for informational purposes, but as a means of alerting and warning the people. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم سيصيب أمتي. He said, it's going to befall my ummah. He said, this will afflict my ummah. وإذا كانت هذه الأدواء ستصيب الأمة فإن الواجب على كل فرد من أفراد الأمة أن يحتاط لنفسه من أن تصيبه. He says, Hafidhullah, if these ailments are destined to afflict the ummah, it becomes incumbent upon every individual in the ummah to guard themselves against being afflicted. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informing us that the disease of the nations is going to befall his ummah, so he's warning us of this affair and drawing the attention to this issue, so the wise from his ummah, those who believe in him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they'll take precaution. And they'll prepare to protect themselves and take the preventive measures to not be afflicted by these disease. فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَقَرَّرُ فِي وَاقِعِ النَّاسِ عِنْدَمَا يُتَحَدَّثُ عَنْ انْتِشَارِ بَعْضِ الْأَمْرَاضِ الْخَطِيرَةِ أَنَّهُمْ يَحْتَاطُونَ لِلسَّلَامَةِ مِنْهَا اِهْتِمَامًا وَسُؤَالًا عَنِ الْعَلَاجِ وَطُرُقِ الْوِقَايَةِ وَاتِخَاذِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُحَقِّقَةِ لِلسَّلَامَةِ. Because it is well known. It is well known among people that when discussions arise about the spread of dangerous diseases, they take precautions to ensure their safety. Showing great concern, asking about treatments and preventive measures, and taking the necessary steps to achieve safety. Any whenever a person hears about coronavirus spreading, people start getting masks and the hand sanitizer, and until akramakum Allah, there's no more paper towels. Toilet paper is gone in the store. Subhanallah. Such great precaution. These things are the stores are emptied from them. Waliyadhu billah. But here we're being informed of these great diseases that afflict nations and destroy them. And no one wakes up and raises his head to take any type of precaution, except for those whom Allah has favored. May Allah favor us. So the Shaykh, he says, وَهَكَذَا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ. Assembly in this context, and in the same context here, the same way people take precaution whenever they hear the spreading of these dangerous diseases that afflict the bodies, And likewise, in the same context, these diseases that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us of, that afflict the heart. وَهَكَذَا فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ بَلْ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ الْاِهْتِمَامُ أَشَدُ. So similarly, in this context, the concern, similarly in this context, rather the concern should be even greater. Rather the concern should be even greater. فَإِذَا كَانَتْ هَذِي الْأَمْرَاضُ سَتُصِيبُ الْأُمَّةَ وَلَا بُدَّ فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَحْتَرِزَ وَأَنْ يَحْتَاطَ لِنَفْسِهِ وَأَنْ يَأْخُذَ بِأَسْبَابِ الْوِقَايَ حَتَّى لَا يَهْلَكَ بِهَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضُ وَالْأَسْقَامُ الْعَظِيمَةُ. So if these diseases are inevitably going to afflict and befall the ummah, then the servant must take precautions, protect themselves, and adopt preventive measures so that they do not fall victim to these grave diseases and ailments. So that they do not fall victim to these grave diseases and ailments. وَإِذَا تَأَمَّلَ الْمُتَأَمِّلُ وَإِذَا تَأَمَّلَ الْمُتَأَمِّلُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ يَجِدُ أَنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهَا إِكْبَابًا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا وَافْتِتَانًا بِهَا وَافْتِتَانًا بِهَا فَتُصْبِحُ فِي نُفُوسِ النَّاسِ هِيَ الشُّغْلُ الشَّاغِلُ. If one reflects on these diseases mentioned in this narration, they will find that they stem from an excessive attachment to the worldly life and a fascination with it. Excessive attachment to the worldly life and a fascination with it, making it the primary preoccupation in people's hearts. Their hearts are overwhelmed with the dunya. Their minds are preoccupied with the glitter of this life. And this is what causes the disease to sink in until they start having arrogance and vanity, rivaling with one another for worldly gains and vying against one another in wealth and property and the likes. And then stemming from that is mutual hatred. There's mutual hatred and rancor, and detest for one another in the hearts and jealousy. And then if it sinks in and takes root, they begin to act upon that filth and they begin to violate the rights of others, transgressing the limits, and oppression befalls the people. And oppression and injustice befalls the people. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. This is an amazing narration. The author, he says, حَتَّى إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ لَتُصْبِحُ حَالُهُ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ لَا هَمَّ لَهُ إِلَّا الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا الدُّنْيَا. And he says, some people, the distraction has reached such a level that some people's state becomes entirely consumed by the worldly life. Entirely consumed by the world. His whole life is dunya. He has forgotten the hereafter. Even if he's a believer, some of them are affected like this, maybe not as severe, but he has belief in his heart of the day of resurrection. He's living as if he believes he will live forever. Or he's living as if he believes there's no recompense. Or that he has forgotten of the accountability. Or has completely forgotten that one day he will die. Or that he has a Lord who will take him to account. And that the favors and blessings that he enjoys are trials and tests. And a brief enjoyment in this life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَتَّى إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ لَتُصْبِحُ حَالُهُ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ لَا هَمَّ لَهُ إِلَّا الدُّنْيَا. The distraction has reached such a level that some people's state becomes entirely consumed by the worldly life with no concern beyond it. وَتَكُونُ هِيَ مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِهِ وَغَايَةَ مُرَادِهِ. And it becomes the extent of their knowledge and the ultimate goal of their aspirations. This is the peak of their life. The peak of their life is to enjoy themselves and to have pleasure and to obtain the wealth and the likes and physical, material success, happiness and pleasure. This is the limit that they know. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَاتِ هُمْ غَافِرُونَ. All they know is the physical worldly life. And as for the hereafter, then they are completely heedless and forgetful and negligent. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The Shaykh says, وَفِي الدُّعَى الْمَأْثُورِ وَفِي الدُّعَى الْمَأْثُورِ. And in the well-known supplication that has come in the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would say, اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. O Allah, do not make the worldly life our greatest concern, nor the extent of our knowledge. This is a supplication from the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a long supplication, in the end of the supplication. O Allah, do not make the worldly life our main and greatest concern, our main and greatest concern, and did not make it the limit or the extent of our knowledge. Did not make it the extent of our knowledge. Because there's a life after this life. And there's knowledge related to that life. And those who have the knowledge of the hereafter, this is the knowledge that is beneficial. And with the knowledge of the hereafter, a person, he can live in this life properly and enjoy himself in a good manner. And without the knowledge of the hereafter, then he's lost like an animal. Rather, they're worse and more astray even than animals. So the Shaykh, he says, وَالدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ زَائِلٌ يُغَرُّ أَهْلُهَا وَيُفْتَنُونَ بِهَا. And the world is a fleeting enjoyment. Fleeting enjoyment. And a transistor, it doesn't last. It's just here for a moment. It's just for a moment. It comes and it goes. It's in and it's out. Our life's like that. Fleeting. Yani transistory. In and out. In and out. It's not long. It's not long. وَالدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ زَائِلٌ. And the world is a fleeting enjoyment. يُغَرُّ أَهْلُهَا وَيُفْتَنُونَ بِهَا. It deceives its people. It deceives its people. And tests them with its allure. With its allure. وَهُمْ عَنْهَا زَائِلُونَ. They're destined to leave it behind. Yani the people are going to leave this worldly life, and there's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing they can do about it. Death is going to come to them, and there's nothing they can do about it. Because Allah, He is Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. Ponder over those beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. You cannot escape Him. He is the one, the irresistible, the all-powerful. No one can overcome Him or outwit Him or miss Him or go around Him. Or go around His legislation or go around His law. Everyone will go back to Him, and everyone will face their Lord, and everyone will face their accountability. وَلَا بُدْ. ولا بد. So it says, لا تبقى لهم ولا يبقون لها. لا تبقى لهم ولا يبقون لها. That this, it neither remains for them, nor do they remain for it. This life does not remain for you, and you do not remain in this life. In this life. And your life will go, and the dunya will go likewise. All of this will go, along with our lives, and this whole life in entirety will go away. Will go away, and Allah, He will bring about a new life. A new life, a new world, a new reality. A new reality, who create us again, another creation. And you destroy this life and bring another creation and take us to account on a great day. فِي يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُمُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On a tremendous day, on a day that the people, they'll stand before the Lord of the worlds. So the Shaykh, he says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكَتْ وَكَمْ أَهْلَكَتْ مِنْ أَكْوَامٍ بِتَكَالُوبِهِمْ عَلَيْهَا وَافْتِتَانِهِمْ بِهَا وَجَعْلِهِمْ أَكْبَرَ هَمِّهِمْ وَمَبْلَغَ. How many nations has it destroyed through their obsession with it and their infatuation by it, making it their greatest concern in the extent of their knowledge? The world is a fleeting enjoyment. It deceives the people and tests them with its allure. While they are destined to leave it behind, it neither remains for them nor do they remain for it. How many nations has it destroyed through their obsession with it and their infatuation by it, and their infatuation by it, making it their greatest concern and the extent of their knowledge. وَقَدْ تَوَلَّدَ فِي النَّاسِ مِنْ قَدِيمِ الزَّمَانِ أَمْرَاضٌ خَطِيرَةٌ وَأَدْوَاءٌ فَتَّاكَ وَلَا تَزَالُ بَاقِئَةً فِي النَّاسِ بِسَبَبِ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَكَالُبِ عَلَيْهَا. سماها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم داء الأمم, وهي الأشر والبطر والتكاثر والتناجس في الدنيا والتباغض والتحاسد حتى يكون الباقي. حَتَّى يَكُونَ الْبَغِي. Since ancient times, dangerous diseases and fatal ailments have arisen among people, and they continue to persist due to this worldly life and the obsession with it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to them as the disease of the nations, which are arrogance, vanity, rivalry for worldly gains, vying against one another, mutual hatred and envy, until oppression becomes widespread. The Shaykh, he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ فَتَأَمَّلْ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْخَطِيرَةِ وَالْأَمْرَاضِ الْفَتَّاكَةِ فَكَمْ فَتَكَتْ بِأُمَّةٍ مِنْ قَبْلَ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَكَمْ أَوْرَدَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَوَارِدَ وَمَهَارِكَ وَكَمْ أَوْصَلَتْهُمْ إِلَى مَعَاطِبَ. يُخْبِرُ نَبِيُّنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تلك الأدواء التي أصابت من قبلنا ستصيب هذه الأمة. سيصيب أمتي داء الأمم. He says, Hafidhullah, Allah, reflect on these grave diseases and destructive ailments. How many nations before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did they destroy? How many did they lead to ruin and destruction? And how many did they drive to devastation? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that the same diseases that afflicted those before us would also afflict this nation. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a disease of nations will soon afflict my ummah, will soon afflict my ummah. So based upon this, the author he's mentioning next, that it's incumbent for everyone who's sincere, hoping good for their soul, that they will learn about these affairs. They will be aware of these affairs, and they'll take the proper means to keep their hearts safe from being tried from these tremendous diseases, the disease of arrogance and pride and jealousy and rancor and hatred and the overwhelming love and concern for the worldly life, the overwhelming love and concern for the worldly life until it takes root in a person's heart and he begins to act upon that, violating the rights of others, shedding their blood and belittling their rights and taking their honor and reputation lightly and their wealth and property unlawfully and the likes like this. This is the outcome of these great diseases. These are diseases of the heart. Rather, these are from the major sins of the heart, and the major sins of the heart are more severe and dangerous than the major sins of the body. The major sins of the body. Maybe a person, he will be able to keep himself away from fornication or from drinking alcohol, for example, but he cannot keep his heart away from jealousy and rancor, from jealousy and rancor and the likes like this, or from pride and arrogance, or by being amazed with himself and his deeds, so on and so forth. This will enter his heart and destroy him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ الْعُجْبَ الْعُجْبَ فَحَذَرْهُ إِنَّ الْعُجْبَ مُشْتَرِفٌ عَمَالَ صَحِبِهِ فِي سَيْرِهِ الْأَرِمِ. That you have to watch out for self-amazement, because it will wipe out your deeds like a torrential flood of water, wipes out everything in its path. And he wipes out everything in its path. The good deeds, they go away whenever self-amazement it comes. And likewise, these diseases here as well. And he, in the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That a person, he will not enter paradise if he has the smallest dust particle of arrogance or pride in his heart. And meaning if he's a believer and he died with that amount of pride in his heart, he will not enter paradise until that's removed. He will not enter paradise until that's removed. Until that's removed. But he had the billah, meaning maybe he'll be punished in the fire until that evil is purified from his heart. So that evil is purified from his heart. So the diseases of the heart, the major sins that occur by way of the heart, they're very severe and they're very dangerous. And many people, they do not identify them. They do not identify them, or they're not aware of them. They're not aware of them in their own hearts. For example, jealousy. Jealousy. And again, these are affairs of the hearts, but we have been learning that the affairs of the hearts, whenever they take root, they're seen in the limbs and body parts, and the limbs and body parts. So the actions are indication of that which is in the heart, especially the tongue. Especially the tongue and what a person says, this is a clear indication of what is in his heart. If you want to know what's in somebody's heart, just be quiet and wait for them to speak. Wait for them to speak. If you get to know them, they'll let you know what is in their heart. They'll let you know what is in their heart, because that person, he cannot help except for speak about what he loves. Except to speak about what he loves and who he is, he will inform. He would inform, just get to know him a little bit. Get to know him a little bit and he will speak and clarify. So for example, jealousy and envy and the likes like this, many times it can be seen and heard from people. It can be seen in their actions and heard from them. And people themselves who have jealousy, when they see others jealous and acting upon envy or speaking in an envious manner, they find fault with that and they blame that. So, oh, he's jealous. Oh, this person is envious. He's saying that out of envy. And the likes like this, because of the contextual evidence and because of the signs, any of the circumstantial evidence of his statement and what he's speaking about and how he's saying it, and the likes like this, indication that he's jealous. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So those who are tried with jealousy themselves, when they see others jealous, they don't like it. They don't like it. They realize that it's a foul way. They realize that it's a foul way. But maybe he himself, he has jealousy, but he does not realize it. He does not take himself to account for it. He's not looking for it, or he is so self-amazed, he thinks that it does not befall him, or he's not tried with it, and the likes like this. These are dangerous affairs. These are dangerous affairs. Whenever they take root, then much oppression and evil and ills, they spread through the society. They spread through the society. So in summary, in order to be upright and steadfast upon Iman, properly and truly, for that to be sound and correct, the heart, it must be sound and correct. And that cannot happen except whenever a person is sincere and his tongue and his limbs, they testify to that. They testify to that because they're directly related. They're directly related. So if a person, he speaks in a lowly and a foul manner, or is backbiting, belittling the people, or mocking them, or the likes like this, or lying, or deceiving, or cheating them, and so on and so forth, this is all an indication that the faith in his heart is very deficient and weak. The faith in his heart is very deficient and weak. So therefore, his iman can never be upright until his tongue is upright. So whenever his tongue is upright, that's the sign that his iman is upright. Whenever his neighbor and others, likewise, who have rights from him, they get their rights, and they're not violated, at this time, a person, he will be firm with his feet on the straight path. He'll be firm with his feet on the straight path. So it's not just a dress that one he will wear, and it's not just actions of worship that one he will perform. Rather, there are no doubt actions of worship that must be established and a creed that must be established. But after that, there are rites that must be performed. Person, he must give the rites to the people in the manner prescribed, and not violate them, not in their honor or their reputation, not in their wealth and their property, not in their blood. And the people's rights, they vary. Some rights are greater than others, like the rights of the parents are greater than the rights of the neighbors, but the rights of the neighbors are great, as we've seen in this narration. And likewise, from the people who have the greatest rights, the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, the great scholars and students of knowledge, or from the people of the Sunnah, those who are known for their proper creed and methodology, they have great rights upon us, and violating their rights is something major. Many clowns and ignorant people and foolish ones, they take their rights, they're like they're nothing, like he's drinking water, waliyadhu billah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.